the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
This is the podcast for broadcast. Sound off podcast. With Matt Kendall.
This week it's off to the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia. There I'm going to catch up with Mark Burley, who was most recently group program director for Bell Media. Sun FM was a great ride for him. During the 12 years as group PD and PD of the local cluster, he enjoyed 8 years with Sun FM at number one adults 25-54 in Kelowna. He also got a whole bunch of industry recognition, like six-time consecutive Program Director of the Year award and Station of the Year for Sun FM on five occasions. He also got to work through three different owners, including Standard, Astral, and Bell Media. I wanted to speak to Mark about what makes the region so attractive to people and its rise in the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Okay, I'm exaggerating about that part, but it certainly gets its fair share of exposure on Hockey Wives, with NHLers like Carey Price and Ryan Getzlaff living there in the offseason. And what's not to love? Wine, water, and sunshine. And it gets hot there too in the summer. Really hot. When I worked in Edmonton, a lot of my coworkers found their way there and stayed. And some of the burning questions I had? How does a once secluded part of the country cope with the rise of digital? And I'll get to some tips and tricks about time management when you have 22 radio stations and a whole bunch of clusters. And finally, coping with that word we all have to deal with at one point, restructuring. Mark Burley joins me from Kelowna, British Columbia. When did Kelowna start to become incredibly sexy to be sort of a playground for hockey players and celebrities?
That's a great question, but we see more of them here all the time. It's they own, for the most part, a lot of the big homes on the lake. They drive big Cobalts or go fast Malibu ski boats. For the most part, they're pretty friendly. They wave at you when you go by them on the, you know, your boat. Once you start to get familiar with the same boats that are in the same spots all the time. So, but it's beautiful. It's hot. Lots of restaurants, lots of stuff at this time of the year. Another couple of weeks, you'll be able to ski in the morning and golf in the afternoon.
So Ryan Getzlaff is up there. Who else? Come on, give me famous names.
Jerome McGinley was here. Todd Simpson is a real estate agent here.
And the best local wine is?
Naramata Bench Red Rooster.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my favorite red. If you want a white arrow leaf up in Lake Country, has a beautiful white wine called Bacchus that is just a beautiful summer drink.
So how did you get to Kelowna?
That was interesting. I was at Conestoga College. I'd been there for a little over 4 years at the time, built CJIQ for the broadcasting program there in Kitchener. Prior to that, I'd been in Sudbury, and Don Schaefer had hired me to go work in Sudbury. And by this time he had moved here to BC and was the GM VP for the BC Interior stations. And I had been talking to a few people and heard that his wife Danny was ill. And I just sent him out a "Hi, how are you? How's Danny doing?" kind of email. He replied within a couple of minutes that said, gave me the lowdown on what was going with Danny. And then the next sentence was, "Group program director position open, interested?" 3 months later, I was here in end of January 2005.
So what were your first challenges when you got to Kelowna?
Huge music universe for Sun FM in Kelowna. That was the major part of my job when I first got here, was to, you know, get Kelowna going. At that time, it was just Sun FM and Oldies 1150. So we got into the universe. My assistant program director at the time was Dustin Collins, and we dug in there and used some music research that was available through other stations in the Standard radio chain at the time, and started to shrink things a bit and make it a bit more contemporary. At that time, in 2005, it was heavily 80s gold. So we did some changes and took about a year or so to start getting that. And then we got into a really great music cycle, which helped all radio across the country and certainly helped Sun FM. Biggest challenges outside of that were I needed to get a new morning show because only about a month after I was here, Ray Grover decided that he was that was it for him for the time being. Very gracious guy. Liked him a lot. Was sorry to see him go. And then was just trying to get my head wrapped around, you know, all these different clusters in the BC interior and go visit them to see what they looked like and try and figure out formatically what we were going to do. And so that was probably the biggest challenge, Matt, was trying to figure out, you know, what this big monster was here in the BC interior.
And you arrived at a time when the internet began to really, you know, take off. There was a time when people would not be able to hear the station, but then you could start to hear the station. And, you know, you're working at the time for Standard and then Astro and then eventually Bell.
You know, the internet provided so many opportunities and challenges all at the same time, because I don't think we were any different than anybody else. You know, you used more, you know, digital downloads, you used more online features and stuff that where you could access content. And it was through the internet, so the challenge became pipes and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, when we revamped the studios, that became part of it. Like, for example, a studio now is just basically a great big router, isn't it? You know, and it's compared to having audio boards of, you know, 20 years ago. The greatest thing was, though, is, you know, like working with Eric Samuels at the time, he could listen in Vancouver to what we were doing. And so from that standpoint, we could all listen to each other. That was the advantage of it. Then I get there in 2005, and by January 2007, we were on this new thing called Facebook, and away it went. So yeah, it's changed so much in 13 years. It was unbelievable.
So there's a completely different level of selling digital in a market like Kelowna. And this is why I wanted to have you on today, because Kelowna, it's very vibrant. There's lots of advertising money that goes through. But trying to explain digital and how it works in a place that still is geographically secluded is different. So when you bring digital ideas to customers...
Well, I think that they realized when we were Astral that here in Kelowna and across the country that this was just exactly what you said was a big part of, you know, the future of the industry. So that's why they created a complete digital department, which included, you know, digital account managers, digital content producers, as well as training the sales staff on this new exciting thing that was called digital advertising. Here in Kelowna, I think a big chunk of that digital advertising goes to Castanet.net, which is just a local news portal, and they, you know, they've now expanded into Vernon and Penticton. So, you know, that's just an example of something that only exists here. I haven't seen it existing across the country. I think what's happened over the last, you know, few years is that clients are more accepting to using digital resources along with their radio buys. And I think that that's going to be the future of the industry. And there's a lot of big clients who are using video on their Facebook pages, on some of the websites that they advertise on here locally. And it's kind of changed the whole face and sound of advertising in the market.
How do you manage 22 stations, 5 formats, and 6 clusters? Because that's an awful lot.
It was, like I said earlier, it was a little bit hard at the beginning trying to wrap my head around it. But eventually, you know, it was aligning of formats and brands and getting program directors or assistant program directors in each of the clusters that could handle the day-to-day operations of the radio station and, you know, and coach as well as they could. Really small markets. So, you know, you've got program directors that wear multi hats. And, you know, some carry air shifts, some cover air shifts, some are the music directors, some aren't. So once we got each of the clusters and had a person sitting in that chair, then it starts to get easier. Scheduling music, or, you know, if you're a top 40 radio station formatted within that cluster or the cluster of 22 stations, then, you know, the music is driven out of Kelowna to take a little bit of that pressure off locally so they have time to do the other things that they have to do on a day-to-day basis, mostly promotions and working with sales departments.
I'm going to ask you to play favorites right now. favorite morning show in the cluster when you work there?
Kevin and Sonia.
What's the trick to winning six-time program director of the year? Because I was nominated six times as well, but I've never won. So how do you win?
Great people around you. That comes from community involvement. All your staff buys into that. Your staff buys into putting a great product on the air. And, you know, just being visible within the industry. I still give the program director of the year awards that I won were a tribute to the staff around me. So I they win it too, which was great. And we also won a bunch of radio station of the year for Sun FM for the same reason.
Give me a time management trick, because you've got all those stations that you have to take care of, but at the same time, you only have so many hours in a day. In fact, it's the same for all of us. We get 24. So what are your time management tricks?
Learned a valuable lesson when I first came here. I was hugely daytimer driven, and I used to have a task list, A, B, and C, A being the most important, C being the ones, get to them if you can, and B, really try. So I'd only ever have three things in an A, and I'd have no more than five in a B, and then I'd just keep adding to a C list and then move stuff up. So after a little while, don't ask me how long because I don't know, but it was a very short time, I found that all I was doing was putting all this huge amount of pressure on myself and not getting very much accomplished. And so I got rid of the ABC and I wrote down six things every day that I wanted to try and do in order of importance to me. And normally I'd get one or two of them done before something would sidetrack me, which is what radio does. And like you said, six clusters, 22 stations, one phone call can take the rest of your day away. So that was the time management trick for me, was to do that. And I get way more accomplished early in the morning than I do later in the day.
What's radio's biggest strength right now? Because there seems to be two camps developing. There's radio is losing money, and there's stories about bankruptcy, and there's stories about less listening time. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people who say radio is doing great and still maintaining a very high listening level. So in your view, which camp is right?
You know what, Matt? I don't know. I know that there's still people who are buying into it. You look at, Burns Communications are expanding in Ontario. So, Chris is very bullish on radio and he loves it. And he has ways of doing things. He always has. And he's been successful at it. And then you have other people who are getting out of it. Vista sold the station here in Kelowna, but then again, sold that to a guy who's really bullish on radio, his kind of radio, granted. But, that's great to do that. What the answer is, I think, is sometimes what radio misses, and that is the immediacy of it. You should be able to react very quickly to both listeners' and clients' needs or questions and not take a while to get it done, whether it's changing creative or whether it's bringing a local artist in who just happens to be in town that day. So that's what I think radio, it's immediate. You can change things and it should be local all the time.
Radio's biggest opportunity is in the live and now. Why don't we update our creative on a more timely manner? Why do we just sort of write things and hope it will just go a month? If radio is about live and now, why don't we do a better job in this area?
First reason that would come out of most people's mouth is I don't have time to do that. You got to wonder, is that what's your priority then? When I was program director, I was as guilty as anybody, Matt, of not changing radio station creative often enough or paying attention enough to morning promos, those kinds of things. So I just think we've gotten away from it for whatever reason, less people, smaller creative departments, not sure, but there has to be a way. I'll tell you, my next PD job, that'll be one of the top priorities, developing a system where our promos are changing on a regular basis so that we don't sound like television looks.
In just a second, we get into the restructuring phase of the show, including the part where a growing region like Kelowna was relegated to one ratings book per year instead of two, along with nine other communities in Canada. A number of those communities, by the way, were west of the Ottawa River, which generally have lower return rates for diaries. The lone eastern community was St. John, New Brunswick, which has a declining population. So Mark and I are going to jam on that subject, and he's going to tell us about how he's been networking through his own personal restructuring.
25 catalogs, over 2,000 albums, 61,000 songs, 197,000 tracks. Megatracks has everything you need to create the perfect sounds for your station, podcast, or digital program. Our flagship catalog, Megatracks, has hundreds of albums covering a huge array of genres and styles. Deep East Music and No Sheet Music deliver international sounds straight out of London. Sensacion brings an authentic Latin flair to every album and is recorded live by local musicians. Megatracks also has a huge collection of FFX, sound design, and narration mixes to give you full creative freedom to make any type of production imaginable. Head on over to megatracks.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's megatracks.com.
Just before we start the show, my weekly newsletter, Sounding Off, is back. Make sure you are subscribed to Sounding Off at soundoffpodcast.com. Inside, there are some podcasting tips and tricks, the best audio content that I've heard in the last 7 days, whether it was radio or podcast, and something I just want people to stop doing because they're doing it wrong. Sounding Off appears in your email box every Tuesday.
The Sound Off podcast is powered by Core Image Studio, your brand sound. Get it in the now. CoreImageStudio.com.
Were you surprised that Kelowna got relegated to one diary sample per year instead of two?
Yes and no. First of all, I mean, I thought that was their mandate, was if the market wants two rating periods a year, that's what they're there to deliver. But no, because the amount of diary returns over the last few years, while I was still sitting in the program director's chair, were getting fewer and fewer. And, you know, we couldn't believe how much it had eroded from, you know, over 5 or 6 years. So, and the online diary is clunky, so it doesn't make it friendly for, you know, verse computer users, online users to use it. So I think it's kind of sad. But then again, I think that maybe we got to sit back and say, okay, what size of market do we need to diary periods a year, or two ratings periods a year? So, you know, if they're going to average, do two book averages, what's the difference? It makes more sense, I should say, to go fall to fall than it would to do spring to fall to spring or fall to spring to fall. So I was surprised when I heard it, because I had lunch with a friend who told me about it. And honestly, I have to say my jaw dropped. So yeah, I'm kind of very surprised.
Well, maybe it's time we change the way we gather this data.
Yeah. You know, I've always said we've got these phones, these things in our pockets all the time. There's got to be a way that they can create some kind of PPM listening thing in phones for participants, whether it's an app or not. And I know everybody says battery life, but then again, you know, I go around and I walk into people's offices. The first thing I see on their desk is a charging cable. So, and people are paranoid. They get to 20% and they go, oh, I'm almost out of battery, which they're not.
And how did you get the name Early Mark Burley?
Well, that was in the very early 90s, probably 1990. I was a part-time swing jock at Hits Radio, AM 109 in Kitchener. And Derek Botten, who became a really good friend and still is, was doing mornings along with Kirk Dixon. And they laid the handle on me when I was covering traffic one day of Early Mark Burley, probably because it's an easy rhyme. And I also did Saturday and Sunday morning. So it kind of stuck. And there's still quite a few people who, when they see me, go, hey, Early. So it stuck around.
How hard is it to launch a radio station and get it together?
I can talk about Conestoga College from experience, because I literally arrived at the college and walked into what was going to be the control room, and it was just this big room with a bunch of boxes in it. So you start to learn of all these things that you have to think about. It's kind of like building a house. I built a house through a builder once and totally forgot about window coverings. It just never occurred to me until we moved in. Felt like we're in a fishbowl. But in building the radio station, you know, it's STL, line of sight at the time, to get to the transmitter. Then we had to get a furniture built, custom built. Okay, what board do you want to get? What board do you want to buy? What computer system are you going to use? And Pat St. John had already bought MediaTouch at that time, so I didn't have any experience with it. So I had to learn it from the ground up. Became quite proficient at programming computers from that standpoint. In a commercial world, you got to staff it. In that environment, we had to train the students who'd never touched anything like this how to use that kind of stuff, and then get volunteers in to cover the hours when the students weren't around. So it was quite a process. It started at the end of September, and we launched in January.
Give me the air check process for working with morning talent. So, I mean, you mentioned Kevin and Sonia. That would probably, it's a different relationship for each one. So when you approach a new morning show, how do you deal with the air check process?
Well, I agree with you that every one of them is different. I think it's the personalities that make that process different. Kevin and Sonia are great people to work with because they're hyper creative, and more sitting with them was a meeting about what they wanted to do next and just talking about what we'd heard in the morning when we could. You know, it was a couple or three times a week. At the beginning, it's every day of the week. When you turn the corner, when you know the show's going where you want it to go, you can actually hear it. Some talent, as you know, Matt, they hate listening to themselves, and I would be one of those people. And just sitting there playing audio from that morning isn't going to get you anywhere. More discussing about what they're talking about and what's going on in the air, I've always found gets you places way better. For morning talent, you know, I've worked with quite a few jocks over the years who actually come in and that's what they want. They want to sit there and listen to themselves and see what you think about what they had to do.
Do you have a favorite social media platform of any sort?
Well, as you know, I was probably one of the more active PDs in the country on Facebook. I stepped back from it because I found it was too much. And sometimes I find it is too much. I still think if you want to stay in touch with friends and family, Facebook would be the one of choice right now, if they make it through the controversy they're going through, that is. And if you're really into pictures, from what I watch from Ryan and Heather, my kids, it's Instagram.
You and your wife were both let go at the same time, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
What's that conversation at dinner like?
You're two different people, so you react differently. So, you know, we each handled it our own way, which was, you know, if anything, I think out of the whole process, it's made us closer. Jen is still the greatest advisor I've ever had and still do. But each of us reacted differently. It was tough. Big reaction from family more than anything, I think. But, you know, we had our ups, we had our downs, and then all of a sudden it evened out and we took all last summer off and spent it on the lake, although here in Kelowna it wasn't the greatest summer. But it was tough. I think it was different than what most people who are in our position have been through, only because two completely different jobs. So everything was different when we sat down and looked at it. So, but once things were done, I think we're closer because of it.
What's next for you?
You know, I really dig radio. I've loved it since I was 18 years old, and I've, you know, love being on the air. I love music. You know, I think I love being on the air more now than I did when I was on the air as a regular thing. I think another PD operations job is in my future. Where that's going to be, I'm just not sure. That's about what I can say. Right now, I've got a couple of freelance projects I'm working at. Work in my home office. I enjoy it. Have the radio on just like I've always had in my office when I work. So, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I check out Milkman every day to see what's going on. I network with people that I know that I worked with in the past and that I've worked with, hope to work with in the future. So we'll see what the future brings, Matt. I'm just really not sure.
What have you found in the job search area? What are you finding out there?
When I first lost my job, I got all kinds of calls and everything about what was going on. And that was fabulous. It was, you know, very complimentary, flattering. whatever adjective you want to put on it. But at the beginning of that process, you're really not in a place to talk about that. So, you know, you need to take time away to get the business side of things done and to get your head wrapped around what's happened to you and all that kind of stuff. And you play a blame game. You ask yourself a bunch of questions, blah, blah, blah. Then you start the job search. And what I'm finding out there is, you know, there's opportunity, but I guess it depends on what you want to do, where you want to go, and what kind of company you want to work for. I haven't had any company that approached me that I wouldn't want to work for, which is great. But sometimes, you know, to get up and have to make that move again after, this is the longest I've ever been in one place in my whole career. So, you know, you get comfortable, you like where you're at, and our family is all here now. They moved here, followed us, my kids. And so what I'm finding out there is there are opportunities, but they don't happen as fast as they did maybe in the 90s or 2000s. You just got to keep your ear out. You have to network and you have to keep in touch with everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Sound Off Podcast. Find us online at soundoffpodcast.com and connect with us wherever great social media is housed. The show is imaged using the sounds from Core Image Studios and assembled weekly by
Evan Serminski, Mixing and Production.
Kendra Magnus Johnston, Content Marketing.
Written and hosted by Matt Condal.
A production of the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.